Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman and Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number three, Dusty Hera, Cam Cleland with you. Coming up tomorrow, it is believed that the Ivy League will announce they are playing a spring football schedule, which will be an interesting one because the Ivy League is non-scholarship football.
Yeah.
They don't have they don't qualify for the FCS playoffs, even though they do consider themselves FCS at that level.
Yeah.
But there is, I read an interesting article. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, said that a lot of the higher, I guess, more prestigious academic institutions in the Power Five conferences.
The snobs.
Yeah. I think he's kind of mentioning, like, hey, Pac-12, Vanderbilt,
yes.
Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
Duke.
We talk like that when we talk about snobs?
Because that's how snobs talk.
Do they?
I don't know.
I know a lot of maybe snobs. Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
You know a lot of snobs?
I know a lot. I know a lot.
That's right. I'm Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago.
Very snobby sounding.
Isn't that
snobby,
perfect?
Snooty. Snotty.
Snooty. Snotty. Snooty. Snooty. I'm an elitist. Why do I have to sound English?
You don't
if
have
I'm an elitist,
to.
Why do I sound English? Do I enunciate differently? Is that what it is?
I don't know what that was.
Doesn't it sound snobby?
Sure.
Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Sure does, Bob. But
who's Bob?
Bob? Sure does, Bob.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Who is Bob? What about Bob? Bill Murray, good movie.
Great movie. Richard Dreyfuss.
Just goes BS crazy.
Wait.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Dead or alive?
Always alive. Richard Dreyfuss is alive.
Is he? Oh, man, I hate it when I do that.
Well, what does it matter? I mean,
well,
it's
no, I just don't
you
know.
Would know if Richard Dreyfuss
is
alive.
72 years old.
Yeah. Yes. Mr. Holland's opus.
I'm surprised.
I am. I don't know why. Sometimes in my mind, I go, are they dead? And I just don't know yet. He's 72. I mean, it's not like it'd be out of the question.
He looks a little older than that, if we're being honest.
All right.
Live hard.
All right. Okay. Anywho's, Ivy League, Dennis Dodd. Yes. Snooty schools. They like to think of themselves as equals. And like, there's this idea now kind of floated out there that if the Ivy League moves to their spring football season, that there will be presidents and chancellors, not ADs, not commissioners of conferences, but presidents and chancellors that'll go, why don't we do what they're doing, right? And that's been floated out by several people that following their lead, obviously the Ivy League was the first to cancel their conference tournament in basketball. Right. Then everybody else kind of followed.
Right.
So follow the leader. That may happen, right? That would not
follow
be great.
The leader.
Would not be great. The Big 12, they're exploring every single option they possibly can. Yeah. And they have a committee of ADs from Baylor, Kansas State, Oklahoma, TCU, and West Virginia. And they are, their whole goal is to find the threshold and come up with a plan of what it will look like if in fall they have to cancel a game or they have to postpone a game.
I don't know the parameters of why you would have to cancel a game yet, because nobody has told us why you would have to cancel a game.
Let me tell you.
You tell me. Do you have the rules in front of you of why you have to cancel a game?
Well, this is what they're saying.
Like, okay, this is allegedly.
No. No, this is...
There's nothing written down yet.
No. Look, Dennis Dodd spoke to the ADs on this committee, and this is what they're talking about. Like, and this is what they're trying to figure out. What is the threshold?
All right, so what is the threshold?
Right? And now, these aren't black and white. These are the questions that they are considering. Like, is losing 25% of your scholarship players your threshold? Which is one thing that they are considering.
Positive tests, correct? Is that what we're using?
Correct.
Because you don't lose them. They just are in quarantine.
Well, yeah, those guys can't play. A quarter of those players would be 21. So you lose 21 scholarship players. Is that enough to sit there and you go from, and that equals going from being an FBS program to an FCS program, right? So if you lose, is 21 guys going to be the number? And why does it have to be scholarship? Is it just 21 players, period? But are you looking at, should it be 25% of your scholarship players? Or another one that they're looking at is the NFL is able to do it with 53. So if you just have 53 players, period, is that a number?
Well, the NFL doesn't do it with 53. They actually do it with 46. And then by that time, not all 46 play. So it's probably around actual playing time that contribute. It's probably in the upper 30s that actually contribute, somewhere around there.
Okay.
So can you do that in college football with 38 players? Yeah.
You're saying you would field a team with 38 guys?
Yes.
Roll them out there?
Yes, I would field a team with 30. High school does it. Football is, come on. And high school does it with two-way players.
But that is not the same level of competition as Power 5 football.
Exactly. So if I take math, 11, 22, 33, 44, okay, 44 would be too deep. So let me subtract 4 out of there and give me 38 to 40 right in there. That's very doable. I would be very comfortable with that. I'd be very comfortable with that. Now, it might not be your best players, but it would be 38 to 44 guys, 42, somewhere in that region that can contribute.
Yeah, and this is like, this is another thing that they're
which is what the NFL does.
Cross-training is something that this committee is talking about in the Big 12. Is this, so you're saying the feasible number would be 38 is probably your bare minimum that you'd go with?
38.
Okay. The next thing is what they're calling cross-training. If the rosters are shortened, one consideration is players working out at multiple positions to make the lineup more flexible. A defensive lineman, for example, might also have to prepare to play offensive line. A receiver would have to play defensive back.
Yeah. Simplify the offense, make these guys, we're talking Iron Man football back in the day. This is what football used to be. Is it optimal? No. I mean, all the things that we thought that were optimal are going to have to change to be able to have this football season. And I think that should all be on the table. You're an athlete. Go out there. Do the best you can. If you know a certain package, you might teach these guys a certain package. You might limit things down a little bit. And it's best on best. I mean, let's just deviate from the path. It doesn't have to be perfect football. It just has to be out there. And those of us in media, those of us in sports are going to chant at the rooftops, not just for selfish reasons, but for the sake of content, that we need fall sports more than anything. Not just for our business, but for financial people that are there hoping that they can make a living.
But if you move it to the spring, can't that still be?
There's going to be hundreds and thousands of people that are going to be Mary not going to have any jobs.
Hundreds of, because of college football not yes. playing in the fall?
Yes. We're talking TV producers. We're talking everybody that manages football. There's going to be layoffs upon layoffs upon layoffs without football in college. Think about how many people are going to be out of jobs and how many opportunities are going to be out of that. If you can do it in the parameters that are intelligent but still have product out there, doesn't have to have fans. Mm-hmm. Fans are not jobs. Fans are not those guys out there doing that. And if it's safe and they do those things in those parameters, you can't just shut everything down and say there isn't an option. You have to exhaust all those options first and then shut it down.
Well, yeah, and that's what we're talking about right now is that is this something that is feasible? And that's what this Big 12
yeah,
committee
I think
is doing.
I think certainly it is.
They're saying, is it feasible? Because here's another thing that they go, what if like it's positionally, right? And this is something that they're talking about. The AD at TCU, Jeremiah Donati, he says, what constitutes a disqualified team? Is it a percentage of your guys' overall number? Is it the percentage of scholarship guys? Is it the numbers of guys in the depth chart at one position? Now, this is interesting. What if you have your quarterback's room and they're like, Bruce Arians brought this up. Do you just cancel the game if a team has no quarterbacks available?
Maybe.
I mean, but honestly, if you're a coach.
Well, I don't nobody who has this answer.
But no, and this is why.
You keep the out-of-quarantine quarterback. There's one quarterback that's out of the group. If that he's the most important position, you create what's called a fail-safe plan, like he had already said. One quarterback on the outside, he's the Zoom meeting quarterback. He's already apart. He's doing some training. He comes in. He has that. He's your emergency fit. In case something happens, there's your guy.
Is that feasible in college, though?
Well, college has eight quarterbacks on their roster.
But where these guys are living together and they're still having to go to class because that would be, you know, one of them. And
well, class can be online. I mean, they can get all online classes.
But these are all the questions. It's like, mm-hmm. And I'm asking you as like, is it a feasible thing? If you were a coach at a Division I school, like that is how you would do it. You'd be like one guy, hey man, you got to go all online. I'm sorry. You're not going to get any reps in practice, but we need to keep at least one guy safe.
As a pro or in college?
No, in college.
Yeah, I don't
think we're talking about the Big 12.
Here. I don't think you need to do that. I don't think you have. You have plenty of depth in college. You don't have to worry about that like the NFL. You're lucky if you have two guys in the NFL. College, you can have five or six, and you can do that. First, I've always been the type of person that tries to think of, I don't hold up stop signs. You know the type of people that want to hold up stop signs before you even get in your car? That's what we're trying to do here with football and trying to speak. Let's not have stop signs up. Let's think of solutions, ideas, put it like you said, like all of them are out there. Let's find some fail-safe reasons. Stop with the, you can't do it, shut it down, stop sign person.
Well, that's not what we're saying. They're trying to find a way to play, and that's the questions.
That's not what the Ivy League is going to do. They just went, stop sign, done. We're not going to do it all. They're canceling. We'll see you in the spring. I wouldn't doubt that there'd be a majority of the guys that say, I'm done playing football and just want to say, no, I'll just go to school. And that's okay, because that's really what you're there for. Some of them are there to be educated in Ivy League, which already puts you ahead of the game when you put that on your resume. But the spring football it's a horrific idea for big-time college football.
But if you can't do it in a safe manner, then
that hasn't been proven yet. So until that is proven, there is a safe manner you can do it, because these guys are smart, the doctors are smart, the people on these universities are very intelligent, and they're going to do everything they can to try to find the solutions.
And
so you can't say can't yet.
Well, no, and I'm not saying can't. I'm saying that that hasn't been proved either way, whether it's too unsafe or not. These are the questions that we've talked about. This, you have to have a 6-week ramp up, right? For these teams to get back on. We've had,
well, I don't
know,
need
Clemson,
6 weeks. Clemson, if I need 6 weeks and want to start in October, that's not a big deal. I can just wait till September. I can wait till the end of August, and we can start in October. You could just have a shortened October season. I don't need to push it to April or March if we're going to have that kind of time. Heck, we could start October 15th, have a 6-7-game season, a couple bowl games, and get a championship run. It's a shortened season. I don't think you need to just forego an entire fall of time and say, no, No, and run from it.
But my point that I was making there is that if you are going to start on schedule, so that would be last weekend of August, first week of September for a lot of these schools, you would need to have these decisions made by, what, next week, mid-next week, in order for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And this is why the Big 12 has this committee, is that they have a lot of questions that they're trying to figure out. And the problem with it is that the NCAA isn't helping them at all. Like the NCAA, they have no guidelines on what
they don't want to be sued.
What testing should look like.
Well, they can't because they don't govern over it.
Well, but and that's the problem, is that these commissioners are sitting there looking at their ADs going, all right, so I guess we have to figure it all out.
Well, of course.
And the NCAA should do something and say, all right, we have these are the guidelines that we need to make it happen. So everybody is playing by the under a set of parameters that the Pac-12, ACC, SEC, Big 12, and Big 10 can all adhere to. Because if not, you just have what's happening now is everybody's trying to make up their own rules on the fly.
Yeah, and that's really what's going to happen, man. And I disagree. I don't think the NCAA should put out any guidelines. All their job is to do is to throw stupid show cause things at Texas A&M, pretend like they care. They don't. They're a figurehead. Every state is different. Every government is different. Every team is different. And certainly we already know every conference operates by their own set of rules. So why would the NCAA come out and put a governing... They'll put out a guideline. They might be like, here's some guidelines we think would work. You guys, and they do this, and they, you know what the NCAA also does? Self-investigate. And then we'll come in and oversee what we think you found, and then we'll agree. That's what the NCAA is going to do. They're not going to put, they're just money collectors. That's all they do. They just collect money, hand out a trophy, and then pretend that they're actually a governing body, and they make money off of athletes that are not pros.
They don't even hand out the trophy for football.
No. So, yeah, to think that football is going to operate with the NCAA's help is a joke. It is a real joke.
But wouldn't it make it easier if they did?
No, it wouldn't. It'd make it more complicated.
Why?
Because the NCAA doesn't know what they're doing. They need to forego the NCAA and say goodbye to the NCAA for big-time Power 5 football.
Mahomes got money, baby. How do the Chiefs continue to build that roster around him? Dusty and Cam on The Fan. The mountain is high, the valley is low, and you're confused on which way to go. So all right, 503-250-1080, that's a Fan text line. We're talking a lot today about Patrick Mahomes' new mega deal. He is the richest contract in professional sports, American professional team sports, that is. A 10-year extension with Kansas City, $450 million in guarantees, up to $503 million in incentives for Patty Mahomes there. It is actually a 12-year deal because it's a 10-year extension on top of his two remaining years on his deal. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think it bears repeating. You mentioned how this is a team-friendly deal. When you see a $500 million contract, I think a lot of people go, uh-oh, well, that's going to be hard to get guys to stick around. How is it a team-friendly deal?
Well, it's a team-friendly deal because of just the front half of the 12 years. The 12 years is added on to his two that he currently has. So in this year, 2020, he's only making $10.8 million. It's pretty good, right? Team-friendly. 2021, $22 million. That's pretty team-friendly, pretty realistic, actually. Not bad at all. 2022, $29 million. 2023, $40 million. And then in 2024, 37, and then here we go to 2025 at 41, 2026, 41. In that year, 2027, is when there's a big jump. Why it's team-friendly is because salary cap in the last decade has gone from having a situation of in 2010, or 2011, I'm sorry, $120 million is now jumping up over $200 million. So math will tell you in the next 7 to 10 years, you will have $100 million in salary cap growth. So that'll put it around by the time we hit 2030 in that range, 300. And once you get above, it could be upwards of $320 million with the way the growth is going. So it actually is a great deal. And the reason why it's also not just historic, but it's also something that you look at is that Patrick Mahomes gives you something a little bit different than other quarterbacks do. He gives you already a Super Bowl championship, already an MVP at such a young age. You have him locked up in this, and it's like you get that kind of marketing ability that he gives you. So $60 million in year seven, typically, he's never going to see the end of this contract. Nobody sees the end of NFL contracts. Nobody does. It's never happened. From Drew Bledsoe getting the $100 million contract to being gone the next year. These are smoke and mirrors what the NFL does. This is a security. This is a play. It's a sign of we love you. We appreciate everything you do now. We do know that things change very quickly. It's a very team-friendly deal for such a long term.
Yeah, there are outs for Kansas City. The terms of those outs haven't been disclosed yet.
Injury outs also.
Yeah. Injury guarantee of what, $140 million if he gets hurt? They can just cut bait and just be like, all right.
Right, buyouts. And there is a no-trade clause in this contract, which is it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and that's why it is not just team-friendly, but it's player-friendly as well. I mean, outside of the $500 million that he could be getting. But some of the incentives, by the way, are insanely hard for him to reach. Like, of his incentives that could make it $500 million deal, it's winning the NFL MVP and the Super Bowl. That's the way that he reaches his $500 million. Every single year, by
every
the way.
Single year.
Every
single year. Which are good goals.
But it's not going to happen. Regardless of that, though, it averages in guarantees $45 million per season, including a $60 million year in 2027. And that's where it'll be a slippery slope because, I mean, if you say say the salary cap is $300 million, right, in 10 years from now, that would put us at what? Probably about $270 million for the 2027 season.
About realistic.
Yeah. That would be $60 million is almost a quarter of their salary cap. It's 22% of their salary cap in 2027 is going to be.
Which means that's why it would be renegotiated and pushed back. And that's typical for what you do. They would end up giving him more back end guaranteed money, push it around, move it, and take about $20 million off that total number, push it into guaranteed roster bonuses, other things that can spread out over time. Because like you just said, in 2014, the salary cap was $133 million. And here we are 6 years later, 200. So that's a $60 million jump in 7 years. Let's use that same math here. So in 2027, like you just said, very realistic.
But
even if not more.
Do we believe, though, that it will continue at this exponential growth?
Yes, because it's the number one growth rate. I was talking to a friend of mine who has a bunch of family in France, and this is one of those things that nobody quite understands. Everyone thinks soccer is growing. Well, there are athletes around this world that are playing more and more football, American football. Now, soccer is always going to be there, but their family, they have a bunch of athletes and a bunch of people. They said that football is growing so much just in France alone. That kids are finding that reasons that are athletes or stuff like that, they are infatuated with football. We see that they're willing to put football, and it works in England. It works. People go there and they watch it. It works in Mexico. We know that. They love it. So football is and we're arrogant because we created it here in America, but it's the number one show, and I say it all the time, number one show on every network, every day. Every time it's on, number one show. We crave live sports. We crave gladiators. We crave things that we wouldn't put ourselves through, but we watch it and pay for it. You know, football is going to be there, and that's why it will grow. The other sports that look at this, I have a little reservations when I think of baseball and basketball. I do. I have reservations with that. I think about, is it going to be, because you can't keep growing basketball. Basketball's, I mean, if you're going to add teams in America, are you going to do that? I don't think so. I mean, Europe, are you going to go to Europe? I mean, you can't make a roster bigger in basketball. It's already 15. I mean, you're only at 450 players. The talent across the world, you can showcase football as much as you can. You can sell it on different streaming platforms, from Hulu to everything from Netflix to Amazon Prime. And we get to watch Peacock now and Disney Plus and crap, Disney's buying up the entire bubble because they know it's valuable for NBA. So, yeah, I do think football's on a different plane.
The NBA is continuing to grow. internationally as well, and that it's getting bigger and bigger over in China, which is a huge market that they're trying to hit. And
don't
obviously
tell the NBA that they just lost $400 million.
Well, I know, but there's a reason why there was $1 billion over there.
Yeah.
Because the popularity of the game is there. They just got a Daryl Morey tweet against the Chinese government. Going against Chinese government, they got upset. But that money is, like, in all likelihood, it'll start coming back slowly but surely. And internationally, the game is growing. But football, it's an interesting point that you make, though. Popularity is growing for the sport internationally, but where is there a cap domestically, though? Is there going to be a cap to the popularity here? And the answer to that is still unknown because of the fact that every single television network is wanting more and more and more of the game, mm-hmm. whether it's college or the National Football League. Those numbers are going up further and further. And I think in the life of this deal, I think one of the things, smart things that the Chiefs did was that they said, all right, we can project that 10 years is not going to be the stop of the growth of the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be. And I wonder what his contract will look like, you know, in the back half of it, in that 2027 season, for instance, which is, you know, 7 years down the road, which is just over half of the life of this deal. Are we going to be seeing, like, it'll be commonplace for these quarterbacks to be being paid $60 million across the league, the high-end quarterbacks? Yeah. Because remember, Matt Ryan was, everybody went, whoa, Matt Ryan's getting paid how much? It was only like $18 million, $20 million that Matt Ryan was being paid, and now he's a bargain.
Well, Matt Ryan has the most money. Well, this is before Patrick Mahomes. But I think Matt Ryan's contract is now second just to Patrick Mahomes in amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So to
in total cash.
Total cash.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, man. Wait till one of these guys is going to pop that this year. But then we think of Trevor Lawrence coming in, and we think of some other young players that could up and comers. But if Tua ends up being healthy, and what's his contract going to look like in 5 years? What if what if Justin Herbert lights it on fire? Who knows? Who's the next big super? Lamar Jackson? All these. There's one in waiting. There's someone that's sitting right now. This is the crazy part, Dusty. 2027. There is someone who's sitting right now that's like 14 years old. He's 14. He is the next superstar, billion-dollar athlete. He's sitting there waiting. We don't know who he is yet. He's going to show up at 2027, and it's going to be $1 billion.
That's a lot of money, man.
It's there. Because to tell you 7 years ago, let's sit back to 2012. Let's ask where Patrick Mahomes was at 22 in 2012. What, playing wiffle ball with his dad? Playing catch in the yard? Seven years ago. I don't know. Subtract it. He was 15 years old.
Has 2020 been that bad for you? You're going back to 2019 there?
Well, no, I'm just using a seven-year metric because we're trying to use 2027 as that year of $60 million. I'm just trying to use seven because seven's a popular number. It's a lucky number. But that's where we're at. We don't even know who that person is. He's just sitting there right now. He's out playing catch. You know, maybe he's fishing.
503-250-1080. Patrick Mahomes gets a $450 million extension. What does the expectations look like for him moving forward? Here's Buck with SportsCenter. As more and more of the details continue to leak out of the Patrick Mahomes contract, Michael Jannetty? He's the guy who runs SpotTrack. How about this? Looking at the Mahomes contract, it leads people to believe that the team can bail on his contract in a couple of years. That is absolutely not the case here. The notes below the contract on our site tell the whole story. The Chiefs have almost zero outs in 12 years. The only real out that the Chiefs have in the Patrick Mahomes deal is if he gets hurt and they pay him $140 million.
Mm-hmm.
$63 million is guaranteed at signing.
Yeah.
And then every single year, he gets a massive, massive, massive salary and roster bonus.
So let me tell you, with that said, it's a great point. Chiefs are locked in. Feel great. Let me tell you how football works maybe maybe, just maybe, we've seen this happen before. Come year six into this contract, you go 8-8, 7-9. You lose big free agents. You done draft. A couple draft picks didn't go well. Andy Reid retires. You're not winning as much. Well, what happens? You go to Patrick, say, hey, you know what? I know we're in this situation, but we've targeted some free agents we would love to go after. Would you be willing to maybe renegotiate? We'll backload this again. We'd be willing to do this. We'll keep it on the same parameters. Give us some salary cap space to do that. I don't know. Sure. Why wouldn't Patrick Mahomes do it? He seems like a great guy. Super nice guy. Never talks about himself. Doesn't say anything that's me guy. Why not do that? Seen it before. Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Seen that before. Oh, I'm not going to take a pay cut. Nope. Pay me more. Get rid of my coach. Do whatever I can. It's about me. How'd that work out for Aaron Rodgers so far? Oh, he got his predecessor drafted. So I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to be that kind of guy. So as much as we think the Chiefs are locked in, I do believe they're locked in. But I don't think Mahomes is going to be that kind of quarterback. He is not Aaron Rodgers. Mm-mm. He's head and shoulders just better.
What is interesting in this is that the lowest number that his dead cap space. So like in dead caps is what teams are worried about. If you cut a guy, right, how much will you still be paying against your salary cap? The lowest it gets is in 2027. After the third day of the league year, it is $55 million of dead cap space. Other than that, it's all over $80 million that they would have in dead cap space, which is incredible to think about because of just the money and how much money he's going to be getting over the course of this thing. So Kansas City is going to be tied to Patrick Mahomes, but at this point, that's what they want to be. And if you look at it, every single franchise in the NFL dreams to have a franchise quarterback, because if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you want to have a franchise quarterback, and they have theirs. And so a 10-year extension, in a weird way, it makes total sense to be tied to him and have no outs if you're Kansas City, because the worst thing that they're looking at is, hey, if he gets injured, $140 million guarantee, boom, for injury, and we can go and start looking for our next guy. It's fascinating to see that this is where the quarterback position is, and they're banking on the exponential growth of the cap to happen. Now, you and I both believe that the cap will continue to grow, but what if it doesn't for whatever reason? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a real problem with the Mahomes deal, but that would be so far-fetched that, I mean, nobody believes that. How do you build a roster around him, though, if he's going to be... He does take up a lot of the salary cap space after the 2022 season.
I think that you can use what Russell Wilson has done and see how the Seahawks have done it. They've been pretty successful, went to Super Bowls. No, he didn't win it because he didn't hand it off, but I think you can look at how the Seahawks did is that they weren't able to invest in great offensive talent, but that's also a defensive-minded coach, and they were able to be successful. They're still successful. I mean, yes, they won a Super Bowl, but they're perennial playoff teams. They win playoff games because Russell Wilson does something as good, but not... Now, it's fair to say right now is that Russell Wilson has elevated the players around him better than Patrick Mahomes has right now because we don't have as much a sample size of Patrick Mahomes. I think Mahomes is that guy. He can elevate players. He doesn't need Tyreek Hills all over the place. It's nice. It's nice to have healthy Travis Kelce's running around. It's nice. But I think that he can elevate with the kind of offensive mindset and system we see moving forward with how Andy Reid coaches it. And maybe it's Eric Bieniemy. Like I said, maybe it's the coach in waiting. He will elevate the offensive guys around him. They won't need to pay crap tons of money like Dallas does for wide receivers and all this other stuff because he's that good. He's just that good. He makes you so much better like Russell does. I mean, guys like Will Disley? Come on. You finally get DK Metcalf, but I've said this over and over. Can you imagine if Mahomes ends up having average wide receiver talent? Well, that won't matter as much because he can make them better.
You know, we haven't seen the mega deal, the 1 year that Russell Wilson made a lot of money, like, and really was against the cap and had a big cap number, was that 2015 season when he had that $31 million signing bonus. Mm-hmm. And that was the year they went 10-6. And then they made $35 million last year. Mm-hmm. And this is where the whole building the roster thing. Yeah, Russell Wilson is, he makes magic with not a lot of talent around
him.
He's
never had an offensive coach.
But is that good enough to get you win a Super Bowl? Like, when they went to back-to-back Super Bowls, he made $526,000 and $662,000. Mm-hmm. And that's the question is, can you win it with that guy paying a lot? And look, we've got two really good examples of guys that they're going to be the litmus test. And it's Russ and it's Pat Mahomes right now. And if there's two guys that can do it, I ain't gonna sit there and say those aren't good. Those guys won't be able to do it.
Well, there's a lot of high paid quarterbacks that could go win a Super Bowl and do that. I mean, Jared Goff. You have Dak Prescott. I mean, Dak Prescott's going to be one that's going to have to be in that conversation if he gets the kind of deal that he gets. We're going to see some of these guys. You know that Carson Wentz has quite a cap number. Also, can they get back to the Super Bowl when he was paid? This is what you do. Once mm-hmm. you have a franchise guy, you don't let him walk.
Nope.
Especially if you've won a Super Bowl with him. You don't let him walk. Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, you don't let him walk. When's the last time you let a quarterback walk? Joe Flacco? Won a Super Bowl with him, you let him walk.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning was injury. I mean, his shoulder was gone. His neck was gone. He had to go to Germany to get special treatments that were even legal here in the States. That's a different deal. You just don't let franchise-winning quarterbacks that can still get it done go. You know?
Kirk Cousins, maybe?
Kirk Cousins won a Super Bowl?
No, you just said franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, Super Bowl-winning franchise quarterbacks.
Not a lot of those guys walking around.
No.
Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Nick Foles.
Yeah, and guess what he got?
He got a lot of money. All right, 503-250-1080. What does it mean for Dak? What does it mean for Deshaun Watson? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Well, if there's one piece of good news outside of the big contract for Patrick Mahomes, a scientific journal, Emotion, published their findings of a study between the 1970s and 2010s that says that there's a positive correlation between socioeconomic status and your happiness. So money can buy happiness, according to this study. I don't believe that totally.
I think if you're a good person and you're a happy person, you're genuine, like Patrick Mahomes, he sure looks that way. It doesn't matter if he had $5 or $500 million, that dude's going to live life and be happy. You could just see it. You see that in him. And great things happen to good people and positive. He deserves every cent. I'm ecstatic for him.
What's this mean for Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, this mega deal?
Nothing. They have never won a Super Bowl, and they have never won an MVP. It makes them a good something to look forward to. You know what it is? Goals. Strive to be better. Achieve more. Do better.
Yeah,
that's what it gives them.
I found that to be a fascinating question of, really?
It does nothing.
Those guys won MVPs? They won Super Bowls?
How many playoff wins do they have between both of them?
Ooh.
That would be
one. Maybe two?
Dak only has one versus the Seahawks. I know that. Deshaun Watson has one.
Oh my gosh, what is happening here? Yeah. So they have two playoff wins.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
I should have said both of them. So I'm sorry. So two. Yes. One each.
They have two playoff wins between the two of them.
How many does Lamar Jackson have?
None.
He didn't have any.
But this is this is where it gets interesting in the conversation. Is always, well, the next quarterback's going to be the guy who's the next highest paid.
No.
And that was how quarterbacks were treated. It's not going to be anymore. You can't do it this way.
No.
Like, sorry, Dak Prescott. And this may mean, you know, Dak is sitting there going, see, I'm worth it.
I don't think so.
And if he's not worth 45, he's going to sit there and say, I'm worth that $40 million that I was asking for.
No, he's not.
You don't think so? No. Because he's already asked for $40 million.
It's the same reason that Jadeveon Clowney is not getting paid. Same reason that Cam Newton didn't get paid.
Well, I'm not saying he's going to get it, but it makes it harder. He's going to sit there and be like, see, I deserve that. I wasn't out of the question to ask for $40
million. Dusty, I'm worth $4 million right now as I sit behind this microphone.
Yeah, but that's not a real negotiation. So is the Dak Prescott
asking price. Is that you can ask for whatever you want. I'm going to go in and buy a new car. I'll pay $5 for it.
So what would you pay him now? Does this change what you would pay him?
He's right at his number. I think he's that franchise tag number. I think he's right around
30 to 34.
That's what I would give. I think that is a market value for a big time starter on America's team. Market value.
Yeah.
Right around there. Got no problems with that.
So then would you put Deshaun Watson right around?
Right around the same number.
Oh, really?
Yep. Right around the same number.
Oh.
And anything more exciting or anything better, except throw a couple good throws. He's had double ACL injuries. You think I'm going to, I mean,
God. Well, Mahomes dislocated that knee last year.
Yeah, dislocated his knee. I thought he just dislocated the kneecap.
Yeah, whatever.
It just slid up and then it slid back down.
You say it like that's not a big deal.
Well, it's not. He didn't tear any ligaments in there.
That's so crazy still that he was able to come back in three weeks. He popped it back up,
but he didn't rip an ACL. That's a whole different deal.
No. But Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott, their eyes probably lit up because, hey, it justifies the number that they were asking for when you see a guy average $45 million like Mahomes is going to do. So congrats. Golf clap. All the way around to Chiefs and Mahomes. He'll be there for a really, really long time. Elsewhere in the professional sports realm, we didn't even talk about this. Didn't even like fly across our radar that much. But Chris Jones is a guy that he wants $20 million from Kansas City. And the crazy thing about it is that the Mahomes deal and extension now, it actually only affected the salary cap by $30,000 by some estimations.
Yep.
So offering him, you may not get up to 20, but $19 million is a very real possibility for Chris Jones for the Chiefs.
You know what that's called? Called a window. It's like you made sure you structured your contract with him in the window. The window is 4 years right now. Everybody knows a four-year window is a realistic window all the time. With the current group you have, they're very young. I think Travis Kelce's the oldest one in that group, isn't he? He's like 27 in that big time group of all those guys. So he's offensive weapons, and some of the guys that are younger, they're young, they're prime, they're ready to go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're in the window. So mark it here from 2020 to 2024. This is where they're at. 4 to 5. That'd be 5 years because you include 20 as a year. So right there. Get it.
Also, one piece of news popping up today. Bradley Beal will be out for the Washington Wizards as they return to the bubble. Why are Laker. They even going?
Laker. He'll be a Laker next year anyway.
Why are they even going? What? Yeah. Wait, what?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Going to be a Laker. Let's do this. I'm on board. I'll co-sign with that. Sure. Woo. Bradley Beal to the Lakers. Bingo. All right, up next, we got the Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3. Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Tuesday. See you Wednesday right here on The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.